All right, well, Romans chapter number 12. Romans, the 12th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the third verse. Let's stand as we read Romans 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That's our thought this morning, thinking soberly. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So we'll stop there this morning, but we certainly see what Paul is saying unto us and setting before us here about high thoughts, thinking soberly, especially when you start getting into offices and people having varying gifts and those sorts of things. Is one person more important than the other? No. Yeah, one person's not more important than the other. We all have the same function. We all have the same office in one sense, and that is bringing glory to God in whatever we do, in word, in deed, whatever we do, we're seeking to bring glory unto God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you as we come before you that you are over all. We're thankful, Father, that we understand that to some degree, that there is no greater authority, there is no greater power than you. And Father, that you've given us the grace to seek, Father, to do as best we can each day. The desire is within us to glorify your name and to, as the church, Christ being the head, seeking, Father, to glorify you in all that we say and all that we do. We ask this morning as we look at these things that you would help us, Father, to enter into the thought of sober thinking, and that we might, Father, apply any of those things that you may impress upon us through the course of the message this morning, that we might, Father, be faithful hearers, that we might be doers, that we might, Father, do those things which you've called us unto, to the glory and honor of your great name, of your majesty, of your holiness, all to your glory. Father, we have but one purpose in all that we do. And Father, I know that I've said that many times already this morning, but what a focus in sober thinking, that we have a purpose in all that we do, and it is to your glory and to your honor, to obey your word and to fulfill, Father, those things that you've called us unto, that we might be a faithful witness, that we might be a faithful light, that we might be the salt that you called us to be in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So when we think about thinking soberly, we live in a culture that is indeed obsessed with self-esteem. And don't we know it to be so? The world around us is obsessed with self-esteem. It's certainly an obsession that has its sinful roots rather in the garden, with Adam and Eve. You remember what Satan said to Eve, that if she would eat of the fruit, he said, you shall be as gods. Think about self-esteem. I mean, how much greater self-esteem could you have than consider yourself, that? We spoke about that somewhat this morning. Pilate, and Caesar and all the Rome and everything, Caesar was regarded as a god. But you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So its sinful roots continue with us even unto this day. Men like to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. What if everyone thought soberly? It'd be a lot different place, wouldn't it? But we are called as Christians, and you see that here in our verse. He says, I say by the grace given unto me to every man. So it's to every one of us, to all of us, to every man. It is that we all are to think soberly. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. He says, but I fear lest by any means. Now, we've already set the scene there with the garden and Satan and Eve, right? So listen to this verse. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity that there is in Christ. And that we would be beguiled as Eve was by the serpent. That our minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that there is in Christ. You know, when we think about that in terms of what we looked at last week, by the grace of God, I am what I am. There's a simplicity in Christ. How complicated that can become, whether it's somebody that stands in a place like this or somebody that sits in a pew out there, you know, how corrupted our thinking can become. You remember whenever, you know, computers first started arriving upon the scenes, and we had these floppy disks back then. You know, it wasn't CDs back then. I don't know if my kids have seen a floppy disk. Andrew, you ever seen a floppy disk? The square ones? You've seen one of those? Has it just been in the game, or you've actually seen one? You've seen one? Girls, have y'all seen a floppy disk before, the square ones? I'm impressed. I know the first time they saw a cassette tape, they were like, what's that? You know, but those disks could become what? Corrupted. And they wouldn't read the information, you know, on there anymore. So he's talking about that our minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That I would begin to think in some terms that I was saved because of something that I did, or because of something that I am and not by the grace of God. Or that I would begin to think in terms that I'm greater than somebody else in the church because I know this or I know that, or I did this or I did that, or I have this or I have that. You know, it's all those can corrupt the simplicity that there is in Christ. And we're told here that we are to have a sober sort of thinking. And what's that soberness mean? We touched on it this morning. It has to do with right thinking. Sober thinking is right thinking. So here in this simplicity that's in Christ, again, we are what we are by the grace of God towards us, you know, in Christ. So these terms that we've met in these verses that we've been reading, Paul says that by the grace given to him, we see at the beginning of the verse there. And then at the end of the verse, we see that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, you know, we see from the beginning to the end, even of this verse, it's God's grace and what God's done, not by what we have done. So that's sober thinking. If I'm thinking soberly this morning about my salvation, then I'm thinking it's solely by God's grace and mercy. You know, I have become, you know, a Christian. It's that I've been saved. It's not by my works that I've done. That's sober thinking. And we're called here to think soberly of ourselves. So sober self-assessment, you know, is kind of on topic this morning. Esteeming others. The scripture talks about that. Esteeming others as what? Anybody? Esteeming others as greater than ourselves. You know, so that's the sort of thinking that the world doesn't think that way. The world thinks of themselves as greater than others. The Pharisee and the publican thought himself better than the publican. God, I thank you, I'm not like that man. You know, let's talk about self-esteem. How about Saul? Whenever Israel wanted a king, they chose Saul. Why? They esteemed him because he was kind of head and shoulders above the rest. He was intimidating, maybe. He was the sort of king. There was something about him that possessed some sort of a character or physical attribute that they looked at and said, that's the epitome of a king. Out of what we have to choose from, we're going to choose him. They wouldn't have chosen had they had Saul and had they had David side by side. They would not have chose David. They would have chose Saul. And David apparently didn't have that sort, you know, of a physical stature, you know, perhaps that Saul had, that impressiveness maybe that Saul had in some sort of a way. Even as Jesse's sons are there, you know, and the prophet saying, surely this is God's anointed. Surely this is God's anointed. And God saying, no, 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 all down the line. And he gets to the last one and there's none left. And God says, no. And he looks at Jesse and says, surely you've got another son, because God hasn't chosen any of these. Well, we got one left. You know, he's out there in the field. They didn't even count it worthy to bring him up. And yet it was the one whom God had chosen. It was David. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Why do we have that definition? Why do we have that said about him? It's not anything in David. It's what God had done, you know, in David. It was the man that God had provided for himself. You know, if Israel's going to have a king, here's the one that I have chosen. So how about the speaking of the one God's chosen, thinking about kings, and here you think about God's only begotten son. And what did the world say? What did the leadership, the Jewish leadership say about him? We will not have this man to rule over us. Here's God's choice, but not their choice. So not sober thinking, you know, on their part. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20 says, let no man deceive himself. So the opposite of sober thinking would be self-deception. So this is a person that's deceiving themselves. So it's like corrupted thinking that we saw in the earlier verse. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world. Now there are people that are intelligent. There are people that are smarter than other people. You know, where did those smarts come from? Where did the intelligence come from? Where did the wisdom come from? He says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Truly, those who are wise, the Albert Einsteins, you know, of the world, the true wisdom for that one would be to become a fool, you know, as it were. In other words, bow, you know, before the hand, you know, humble himself under the mighty hand of God. You know, if you don't do that, your wisdom, you know, is foolishness. Let him become a fool that he may become wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. What does it profit a man? And what's the world all about? What's it after? It's gaining the world. If I could become the richest one. I saw an article not too long ago where they were saying, well, Elon Musk, you know, has this much money, and Bill Gates has this much money, and this much has this much money, and they're pitting all these billionaires against one another. Well, this one lost this much, so he doesn't rank here anymore, he ranks there. So this is the way the world, you know, thinks. You know, would you trade what God has given you in Christ for all that they have? You know, I hope not. I hope that wouldn't even be a temptation, you know, to do so. But the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. What's the world after? It's after fame. It's after fortune. It's after those sorts of things. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Those who, if their thoughts aren't sober, in other words. Their thoughts are intoxicated with the things of this world. And it's foolishness. It's foolishness, God says. You know, so when we think in terms of our thinking being sober, then we want to strive to bring all of our thoughts into captivity, you know, as it were. You know, as Corinthians talks about, bringing all of our thoughts into captivity, that they're made subject to Christ. They're made subject to God. You think about those men who said, you know, we're going to go into such city, and we're going to buy and sell and make a gain, the profit, we're going to stay there a year, all that kind of stuff they said. And what do we read? If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. It's kind of like we were talking about earlier today when we said, somebody says, I'll never do that. And we were talking about Peter denying the Lord 3 times earlier this morning. So can we say, I would never do that if we were in Peter's shoes, we were in Peter's position? You know, sober thinking says, by the grace of God, Lord, you sparing me from such an end, you giving me grace to give the right answer, you know, to give the proper answer that I ought to give and have a sober thought in regards to these things, you know, by your grace, I would not. We can't just say, I'd never do that. I have said that before, and I'm sure you've said that before. There's probably not one of us here who said, I would never do that, and the Lord has shown me. And I said this not long ago, I know, but the Lord's shown me, yeah, if I put you in, it may not be the exact same set of circumstances, but whenever I did a similar thing that I said I would never do, about I saw somebody else do it, the Lord brought that to my remembrance. That exact thing that they did that I said I would never do, the Lord brought it back to my remembrance at that point. So sober thinking says, by God's grace. Sober thinking says, as I get up in the morning, Lord, give me grace to be what you've called me to be today, to speak the way I'm supposed to speak, to have grace, you know, in my speech, have grace in my thoughts, to have grace in my actions, to be what you've called me to be, unto everyone today that I'm going to come into contact with, which I don't know who those people are going to be, but you do. You know who those people are going to be. You know the circumstances. You know the situations. You know what you are going to subject me to today, bring me into contact with today. I don't want my thoughts to be corrupted. I want them to be right. I don't want to be deceived. Because we're talking about, like, as Satan deceived Eve, I don't want to be deceived into thinking that this over here that I'm saying is what is right to be said or what I should be saying because, you know, my thoughts have become corrupted. No, I want my thoughts to be right, and I want to say the thing that and give the answer. You know, it's being ready to give an answer to every man that asks of the hope that is within us. So I want to be ready, and I want to give the right answer. I want to give the proper response unto everyone that I come into contact with. I want to be truthful, you know, with each one. Ryan, one of my brothers was saying yesterday how that he's gotten a lot more blunt. Well, we can be blunt, but we can also be gracious, you know, in saying whatever it is that we have to say. And we could think that being blunt maybe is the way to go about it. Maybe it does require that at sometimes. I don't know. But I want to be able to use whatever speech I need to use in whatever situation that I come into contact with and use it in a way that does what? That satisfies me? No. That helps my self-esteem? No. That makes me look like the biggest person in the room and the smartest person in the room? No. But the thing that glorifies God. That's the thing. Sober thinking. Sober thinking. So striving to bring every thought into subjection. 2 Corinthians, that's where that kind of comes from, is the thought that I have there is from 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Those things that would exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, against the glory of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To that simplicity that there is in Christ. I mean, to answer the way that we see in Scripture how the Lord answered people. We saw how gracious he was to everyone that came. To everyone who truly sought him, how gracious he was, you know, unto them. We also saw that how he spoke to the Pharisees, you know, who were corrupt in their own thinking. He was kind of blunt, you know, with them. But bringing all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, that's a good way to think, I think, about thinking soberly in a way. Again, this word sober here has to do with what? Being in one's right mind. It's almost the sort of thing that comes to mind is like a person writing their last will and testament. I, so-and-so, you know, being of sound mind. So it's sober thinking, right thinking. Thinking about every situation in a right way, the way that we ought to think about it, in a godly way. Yeah, I mentioned that the Gadarene's demoniac this morning, a wild man, unable to be constrained by other men. But once the Lord delivered him, we see him in Luke 8, verse 35, they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. When I think about sober thinking, that's one of the thoughts that comes to mind because it mentions it so, or it states it so plainly there. This man wasn't in his right mind before, but now he is in his right mind. And it's because of what the Lord did in him that he is in his right mind. So he's found sitting at the feet of the Lord, clothed and in his right mind. So that man's case was extreme, I know, but sin can take a person to that place where that man was, a place where they cannot even live with others, so insane with sin that they are beyond human means of restraint. But even that man wasn't beyond the deliverance of Christ. You know, so my point in saying and mentioning that is you see the opposite of a person being sober in their thinking. That man was eat up with madness, you know, because of what had happened, you know, unto him, because of the sin that there was in his life and before the deliverance that came. So it's by Christ. You think about sober thinking. Why was that man found clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of the Lord? It was because of what the Lord had done. It was by God's grace. So that is sober thinking for us. That helps us, I think, to try to focus in upon what Paul's saying to us here about not being high-minded, but being sober, you know, in our thinking. So It's by Christ that we've all been clothed and in our right minds, even at this, as this man was at the feet of our Lord. So we too once were out of our minds, you know, with sin, because how out of a person's mind they are to oppose God, how out of a person's mind they are to be at enmity with God. They're not going to win. They're not going to succeed. They're going to bow the knee, and they're going to be cast into hell if they do not come to Christ. The coffee mug I was drinking out of this morning, just some of the things that have come to my mind thinking about the sober thinking. It says, in everything give thanks. Well, we're entering into the Thanksgiving time of the year, aren't we? And so people start thinking about being thankful. And when people think about being thankful, they think about being thankful for the things that they have. My family, you know, and maybe my job or the things that God's blessed me with and given me in this life. And it's easy to be thankful in those terms, isn't it? But it says, in everything, give thanks. So we're talking about Job things there too, aren't we? We're talking about things that Job went through, as well as the blessings that we have, you know, and the things that it's easy for us to give thanks for. It's not as easy to give thanks, you know, in situations like Job found himself in. So, you know, even in those places, we are, that's right-minded. That's sober thinking. So winds struck the house, fell upon his children, they're all dead. We want to have sober thinking, right thinking, you know, when it comes to something like that. You know, all of his possessions are taken away. We want to have right thinking in situations like that. His health is taken away. We want to have right thinking in situations like that. His wife comes to him and says, why don't you curse God and die? We want to have right thinking. It would have been easy for him to be really upset with his wife, you know, for saying something like that. But, you know, he gently, you know, chastises her and says, you're speaking like one of the foolish, one of the people that aren't sober-minded. You're speaking like those who are high-minded. You know, who are we to say? Who are we to say what is best for us? God's the one that has ordained this. God's the one that has orchestrated this. God's the one that has done this. And it said, in all of that, Job did not charge God foolishly. He had sober thinking. You know, his sober thinking says the Lord gave it. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's sober thinking. Sober thinking says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's right thinking. He's thinking right in those terms. So in everything, give thanks. It's easy to sit down at the table, you know, and think about in everything, give thanks in that sense and say, Lord, thank you for the food that's here. But what about thanking the Lord when there's not food there? You know, what about being a George, you know, Mueller, you know, and thanking the Lord when there wasn't food, you know, there on the table? Sitting all the orphans down around the table, then there's nothing there. There's nothing on the table. There's nothing to eat. You know, what did the orphans think? I don't know. Did they think maybe it's in the kitchen, it's going to come out? He knew. And there he was, thanking the Lord for what he had given. And a knock comes to the door, and there's food, and the Lord's provided. He's talking about a measure of faith, right? When we get down towards the end of the verse there, there's a measure of faith that God dealt to that man. You know, he took on all that responsibility, all those orphans. You know, he didn't have the funds for all those things, and the Lord continued to provide and to provide and to provide. And in the end, they said there was just coins. You know, he'd given it all to God. You know, he'd done everything in his life. It was all given to God. There was just change, you know, that was left. Probably appropriated for something, you know, later. You know, it's going to buy bread, you know, whatever. I don't know. But in everything give thanks. There he was, giving thanks even when there wasn't anything there, knowing that God was only going to do good, going to cause all things to work together for good. You know, there's like we said, a measure of faith. Romans 12:16 tells us not to be wise in our own conceits. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. You think about how people boast, how people praise themselves or others. Think about the Pharisees. They wanted the praise of men. And the Lord said, you have your own, you have your reward. That's all you're after. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So do we have a higher estimation of ourselves than we ought to have, probably. Probably. We need to be a little more sober in our thinking this morning about ourselves. Sober thinking is grounded in places like Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. That's what it's all about. You know, never think of things of him, through him, to him. So of him, these things have come. Through him, he's working something. To him belongs all the glory. So for faith to live in such a manner as we ought to live, faith to live in such a manner as Job lived, faith to live in such a manner as Abraham lived, going where he didn't know where he was going. He just knew God had called him out to go, you know, and he went. He followed, you know, the Lord. So faith to live in such a manner as this, as Mueller praying for that which wasn't even there, thanking the Lord for that which was not even there. This is sober thinking. This is grace given. 1 Corinthians 4:7 says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" You know, sober thinking says, all that I have is by God's grace. Everything that I've been given, it's Job saying, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." It's all his. It all belongs to him. High-minded thinking says, how dare somebody, you know, say that? Or how dare somebody do that? Or, you know, why is this happening to me? Why are these things always happening to me? You know, why should I go through these things? Why should I have to suffer that? Instead of saying, "Lord, you know. Lord, you know. I don't understand, but you know. Thank you for grace to trust you even in hard times. Thank you for grace to trust you even in hard things." 2 Peter 1:3 says, "According to as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." What a glory it is to even know him. What a glory it is to be able to think this way. What a glory it is to be able to have sober thinking and right thinking. What a mercy it is to be able to think in a way that pleases God. You know, when Job said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away," you know, that to people around Job might have sounded like, you know, something else. It might have sounded cold. It might have sounded callous. Do you know what just happened to you? Do you know you've lost all your children, you've lost all your possessions, and you're going to make a statement like that? Yes. Yes, because it's a sober statement. I didn't possess those things when I came into this life. I didn't earn those things in any way myself. I didn't merit those things. They were all given by God's grace, and God has chosen in his wisdom, his great wisdom, to do what he's done. What else can I say? What else can I say? So to be able to see that all things that we are given in this life, all things that we are, to be able to give God thanks for them being or not being, for having or not having. I think about, you know, Paul. Sober thinking again. He learned in whatsoever state he was in, therewith to be what? Content. Content. That's sober thinking. You know, to have, and when I have, to possess as though I have not. And when I don't have, you know, to not have as though I did have. And that would be kind of Mueller's table, wouldn't it? He didn't have, but giving thanks as though he did have. So I've learned, and whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. How can I be content? Because God is on his throne. How can I be content? Because God is over all. How can I be content? Because he's promised to work all things together for my good. How can I be content? I can be content because all things are of him, through him, and to him, all for his glory. I can be content. Can I be discontent? Sure, I can be. But that's not sober thinking. We're called to sober thinking. To think soberly. To think rightly. Philippians 3, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ." Now those are the things of the world. Those are the attainments of the world. Those are the titles of the world. Those are the possessions of the world. Those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That would be something that the Pharisee would boast in, wouldn't it? But that which is through the faith of Christ, the simplicity that there is in Christ, it's all by God's grace. God's done this. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. And even knowing him, that's God's grace, knowing him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I'm going to attain that. I'm not going to finish this. When Paul says, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. You know, he's not saying that he did that himself. We saw last week, didn't we, when we were looking at grace, when he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. He said, it wasn't me, but it was the grace of God in me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, he says, but this one thing I do. That's sober thinking. I mean, we could get real proud in our knowledge and our understanding even of scriptural things, but sober thinking says, I know I don't understand these things as perfectly as I will. I know I don't understand these things as perfectly as maybe I should. I haven't attained. I haven't arrived. I'm not the epitome of all things when it comes to just the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, when it comes to the doctrine of man, when it comes to, you know, the doctrine of Christ, when it comes to all these things. I've not apprehended them as deeply as I will. I see through a glass darkly. You know, that's sober thinking instead of the opposite of that, which would say, well, I know this and I know that and you don't know this or that, but I can explain, you know, that to you and you might be able to understand it, you know, and you might not be able to, but I'll give it a shot. I'll try. No, it's not that. It's humility. It's sober thinking. It's right thinking. I am what I am by the grace of God. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, that I might would be able to take pride in, you know, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the opposite of sober thinking is carnal mindedness. Carnal mindedness is enmity against God. Friendship with the world, enmity against God. Hosea 4:1 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. The wisdom of this world, no knowledge of God. And when they come in contact with the knowledge of God, they suppress it, they reject it, they don't want it in their thoughts. Jeremiah 9:3 says, and they bend their tongues like their bow, like a bow and arrow. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Paul goes on talking about this sort of people in Philippians 3, verse 19, when he says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things even, or all things unto himself. He subdued me. He subdued you. That's sober thinking. We could be going on in our sins this morning. You know, we could have not been saved. We could be a horrible, you know, person today, worse than we were when the Lord found us. You know, we could be the scourge, you know, upon the community and the town, just like that Gadarene's demoniac, you know, was. You know, that's sober thinking. It's all by God's grace that I'm not that, that I'm not still bound in my sin, that I'm not still bound and blinded by Satan. So the backdrop there of that, and then going to Jeremiah 9:23, where the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. You know this passage. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. What a glory. Now that's sober-minded thinking. God has made himself known to me. God has revealed these things unto me. God has saved me by his grace. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So being sober-minded, our first thought being of God. When things come, when things that we weren't looking for come, whether they be things that were an abundant blessing, or they be things where something's been taken away, let our first thought in soberness be of Him, thinking of these things rightly. Let our thoughts be established through Him. Let our thoughts be to Him under His glory. The Lord's got a purpose here. The Lord's doing something. I don't understand. I may not understand, but I do understand this. He's right in everything that He does. That's sober thinking. Now, sober thinking is found throughout the pages of God's Word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's sober thinking. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's sober thinking. Commit thy way unto the Lord, Psalm 37:5, also, or trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. That's sober thinking. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth its way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, we read this earlier, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's sober thinking. And the last verse I'll read to you, or passage I'll read to you in regards to this, is Isaiah 26:3-4. Think about sober thinking and listen to what the passage says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's sober thinking. So it takes grace to think soberly. So at the end of thinking about these things, what ought to be our prayer? Lord, give me grace to think soberly. I want to think soberly. I want to think rightly, because that's those two things go together. Soberly means rightly. I want to think rightly. What makes it right? What's right in the sight of God is what makes it right, not right in the sight of the world. The world thinks differently, but right in the sight of God. I ran across this poem. I'll read it and then we'll pray. Oh, let my heart be wholly thine, thy property alone. No longer let me think it mine or call myself my own. I don't even belong to myself. I belong to Him. That's sober thinking. Let's stand and we'll pray.